Here she, here's Janice.
Oh, here we go. Janice, we're just, I just started the live stream and recording so we can see, because it is 10 o'clock. So sorry we lost you there.
Yeah, it was AT&T again. All I had to do was start talking about them and then I disappeared. You know, woo! I don't know.
All right. Well, if it happens again, we'll just hold until you come back.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have no control over that. All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order. By my clock, it's 10:01, and we're meeting with the Finance Committee of the Kensington Fire Protection District. This is Friday morning, April 2nd, and present are the two Finance Committee members, me and President Nagel, and in addition, our General Manager, Bill Hansel. Do we have any members of the public here also or no?
We do, but they cannot speak in this meeting, I don't believe, even as a general comment.
Well, we can welcome them nonetheless. Okay.
Yeah, great. Kevin is on, so.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, I'm still going to ask for comments from board members or members of the public, which is the next item on our agenda.
I have no comments. I'll save my comments for the report on the audit.
Okay, great. And I have no general comments either. So I'm going to go to our agenda then, since we have no comments. And our first item is timesheets. And I couldn't find the timesheets anywhere in the packet, Bill. I'm sure you have them, but I couldn't.
Ooh, that's not really good. Larry, did you see them in the?
Yes, I have item number 3.
No, but did you actually see them in the packet that was sent out?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, Art, did you save them? All right. Well, here, I'm going to go back and look and see if I can find them.
Well, I have some comments if you'd let. I can show it on the screen. And
that would be great. I couldn't find it when I looked.
Yeah, hold on 1 second and let me pull it up.
Did you
download them from the website, Janice,
Yes, and I couldn't.
I got the packet from the website in the announcement, and it was fine.
I couldn't find it in there, Larry. I'm a doofus.
Well, let me show you the screen here. 1 second.
Janice, did you find the audit report that comes?
Yeah, I've got the audit report and everything else. Is it underneath that? Oh, here it comes. Because Bill's going to share his screen.
So so these timesheets are for the last one that we approved was January 15th, and this is just me, right? So January 31st here. And February 15th for the period of the 1st to the 15th.
Looks like you're going about 38 hours a week.
The 28th. Right? Yeah, I'll show you. Let me talk to that in a second, and then the 15th. And so the contract was for 32 hours in January, yeah. And then it went down to 28
February.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Yeah, I think whatever it was here, I think I had 20, let's see, I had 26. Some of them, you know, we've got an extra day. It basically breaks down to about 4 hours a day. So that was February 1st. So there was 30 hours there a week, a little bit less there. Anyway, it's notched down to 28 hours a week under the contract until the end of June, and then it goes down to 24. And when I say it goes down, I mean, that's what the contract says, and that's what I've been one way or another sticking to, you know?
Is that working for you, the number of hours you're working? It works for you personally and professionally, and you think it's working for the district also?
Yeah, I think that, what I was gonna tell you was, here's a general reference. I went, and this was including everything from January 1st, so you're not seeing, you already approved that one, January 1st to the 15th, and then coming up until this last one that's on here was to the 15th, but we just finished the timesheets yesterday, so. So I took all the hours and added them up. And just to give you an idea, you know, how I've been dividing my time according to these categories that were already set up here. About 48% of my time has been in general administration. 32% has been in finance, 5.5% in emergency prep. Haven't done anything with policies yet. I don't think really anything has counted towards that. And then the public safety building has been 14.5. So that falls, you know, as it should in terms of general admin and finance being the normal month to month things that take up most of the time. Now I'd say in terms of like, I think the 28 hours now, what you're not seeing here is that there are times when I move hours from, I personally keep track, because I told you this, I've been doing this for years, and you know, in my Outlook, and that's why you're seeing this level of detail. The contract actually says in quarter hour time chunks. Yeah. So that's what I do anyway. So that's fine. There are times when I've got a few too many hours on one week that I'll move to the next week.
Okay.
To try to make sure that, you know, it averages out and to my limit or not beyond my limit. I'd say that given, like, for example, last week it was really intense with that meeting, with the public safety meeting. And I could see things like that in the future becoming, you know, time intensive beyond a limit here or there. Now, you know, from my standpoint, I'm fine with, you know, with moving hours around and being flexible and all that stuff. I obviously I've counted on this job to provide the, you know, minimum amount of hours, and I've scheduled my remainder of my time in advance to accommodate what else I need to fill out a regular week. So there are times when, while I, you know, need to work, say, more than 28 hours, you know, like last week, for example, I already had the other 12 plus accounted for, you know, things I needed to do for from my other work. So, you know, I can make up time and shift it back and forth and it's not a problem. But if it gets to a point where suddenly, you know, to do the job, it suddenly takes 40 hours. I mean, the problem for me is then if it goes too long, I can't make up, you know, I can't accommodate my other, you know, promises that I've made and you know, to my other job. So it's worked fine so far. I'm interested to see two things. When it drops down to 24, which is what I had originally planned on anyway, you know, am I going to start feeling like I'm shortchanging work here, you know? And then the other thing is related to that. I mean, it's exactly related to it, is the fact that I've been trying to get, you know, Sasha's work and the accountant's, Maze's work, streamlined enough that it really minimizes my management oversight of them, as well as making sure that they do things that I don't need to do, you know? So when I say that I've been spending 32% of my time on finance, I'd actually like that to get down to like a quarter of the time, you know? So if we did have a bunch of talks, I had a bunch of talks with Maze and constantly talking with Sasha about like, well, here, let's do this better. Or, you know, did you catch this thing? I ended up having to go and check, and I shouldn't have to check. You know, I should just know that it's that this or that is kind of happening. So, you know, everybody's working towards that end, and you know, just see the wild card is going to be, oh, and I should say, I mean, I'll have the same issue once we get the contract for this emergency preparedness coordinator and also a grant writer. Initially, it'll take me some time to kind of interface with them. But after that, you know, it really should be not a drain on my time. And the wild card will be like, if we ever do make a decision on this building, you know, obviously there'll be consultants to manage, and how does that play into, does that start sucking away from the regular, you know, management duties? I think that, you know, this job in the 3 months I've been fully, you know, doing it for the first quarter has been, if you discount the fact that obviously there was up, you know, time for me to learn, you know, it should be a 24-hour a week job, barring some of these special intensive things, you know, like the building, you know, so So that's, anyway, that's, I'm trying to work towards that end and just making it happen. And I haven't exceeded it. Like for example, I might have a few hours from last week, 6 or 7 hours that I need to shift over to this. So this coming week, I'll back off a little bit to, you know, to make up for that. But one way or another, I've been able to kind of stick within the budget limits. So.
That's great. Would you keep us abreast of that? I mean, we've got some flexibility on this and we want it to be able to work for you as well as for us. So.
Thank you. No, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your just consideration of the fact that, I mean, in this, with this, like I said, at the same time that I'm willing to, you know, work more intensively one work and, you know, to keep my overall eye on the targets, I do, you know, I need to work full time. and when those, and the way I do that is by, you know, the Alto Sanitary District, fortunately, is an extraordinarily flexible, you know, job managing that. But there are times when that gets intense too. You know, I'm going to have to do a budget for them. I've got some special sanitary district reportings that have to happen around May. Yeah. So I can't just suddenly say, oh yeah, I just, you know, Kensington needs me full time for 2 months because I have that stuff to do. I already kind of work around the clock as it is. So.
I was going to make the comment that, you know, in a professional position like yours, you certainly expect that the workload will vary with time. There'll be hills and there'll be valleys. And I hate to see you have to juggle numbers to get under or over some artificial limit. As long as at the end of the year, the amount of time is about right, I think that's all that matters. So just moving hours from one week to another to me is, it's consuming your time.
And, you know, it takes management, but you know, frankly, for the years that I was just doing architecture professionally, or even when I was doing it part-time and then doing, I was teaching or I was doing Alto for, you know, a number of years, I'm project based, you know, so it's not a big deal. I juggle things and I've got kind of a talent for it. And frankly, it suits my personality, my interest level. Okay. So, I appreciate your being sensitive to it.
I think the whole idea behind this is just to give us advance warning of any surprises. I mean, if you're going to end up billing us for 40 hours a week instead of 28 hours a week, we'd like to know about that.
Sure.
And it may be that we have to accommodate, you know, change the budget to take that into account. I think if we did 32 hours this week and we have to go down to 22 hours next week to make it all average, I think that's the kind of a game that, you know, if you enjoy playing it, I guess that's fine, but I don't think it's necessary to do that.
Well, I am trying to stick to the contract because it's very specific and, you know, I got burned a little bit back in December, if you recall, by going over, I know I'm extraordinarily honest about it and have no, you know, problem with it. It sometimes, you know, like for example, last week when you get into a project like the public safety building meeting prep and you're just digging away and, you know, that's a point where I could easily blow past the hours. And then I just don't, you know, I write down and keep track of my hours every day in part, you know, middle of the days, I'll do something and I'll write it down. But if I'm working on one thing for hours and hours and hours, it could be like the next day. And I go back and I say, oh geez, I blew past that deadline without even knowing it. And yet the contract says to notify the board in advance. And it's like, well, sometimes it's a little bit tricky to be that much on it.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a stopwatch.
Well, it seems that it's working for you and it's working for us. So let's leave it alone. But would you self-monitor that and let us know how it's working for you and whether the time is an adequate allocation?
And thanks, I will.
Yeah, I'd like to be as flexible as we can, and I appreciate your flexibility as well. Yeah.
Good thing.
Oh, happy to approve those timesheets then. Are you happy, Larry?
Yes, I.
My consensus. All right.
I'm perfectly happy with them.
Okay, then we'll approve those timesheets by consensus, and then we're going to move on. And what we're going to focus on primarily at this meeting is the audit.
I did have one question about timesheets, Janice. Should we be reviewing Sasha's timesheets as well?
It didn't. The contract. Not the contract, but I mean the policies say that the finance committee should review the general managers. So that's why I didn't include them. I have no, you know, I'm happy to include them next time. I don't think I did last time, but it's not an approval of those. I'm approving those. You're approving mine.
Okay.
I think if you want to see, you know, I think it's a good idea. Next time I'll just include hers, or maybe I'll put them in the board packet so they're all together. But the actual approval will be just for me.
Yeah, that's your managerial decision. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. She's her basis of her, just so you know, her contract was up to 15 hours a week. And what I've told her is that I certainly think that, well, first of all, her time is more affordable than my time. And so I want to use as her doing stuff that otherwise I would do, you know, to save the district money. And then secondly, I do feel after these 3 months, it's pretty obvious right away that there's plenty for her to do. You know, like, for example, I've said, I'm going to give you certain things during the week. We communicate usually every Monday or Tuesday about the week ahead. Some of the stuff is obvious in terms of agendas and packets and that kind of things. We're trading off going to the public safety building. She's doing it 1 week. I'm doing it the next week to get the mail and scan it and do that, or to post the agendas. And then I said, you know, if you get to a point in any particular week or during the week where you feel like you're short or you have extra hours, work on the policy, you know, update the policy manual with just the formatting of it and trying to clean that up. Or update the files that we're still organizing for the district, our digital files, or update the website. So she's got sort of a task of like constant to do things as well as the specific things.
That sounds good to me. Any more questions on the timesheets then, Larry, about Sasha or about Bill?
Say, I couldn't hear you, Janice.
Oh, are you happy with the time with Sasha and Bill then, so that we can move on to the audit?
Yeah.
Do I need to turn myself up? Can you hear me or
Sasha? You're fine when you're closer to the computer, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay. I'll move in closer and then it's easier. Yeah. Okay, then what we're going to focus on now is the audit, which I think is going to be the major focus of the meeting. And I want to go page by page, but I'd like to mention a couple comments I have, and then we'll turn to comments, Bill, that you and Larry have. And then I'd like to talk about what we do about the management report, where we have the 6 deficiencies that are kind of a surprise to us. So my first comment was on page 6 in paragraph 2.
Okay.
Under the general fund budget, and it's line 4, where it says they could not be completed during the pandemic due to related restrictions. I think I would like to insert the word COVID before restrictions. It's in line 4 there.
Got it, right here.
Yeah. Yes, so that it's clear that it's COVID that's dictating the activity not able to complete during the time of the pandemic.
Okay, 1 second. Okay.
And then my next comment was on page 14. Under part A, where it talks about the contract expires June, it's the second paragraph of part A that says our contract with El Cerrito expires June 30th, 2020. In fact, the contract has been renewed. And I don't remember whether Julie got around to renew before or after 2020, but it has been renewed. So I don't know whether the report should include that update if the renewal date is after June 30th. I know she and Don were looking at it for 6 or 7 months.
Okay.
So let's talk to the auditor about whether or not we can put the renewal data in there.
Okay.
I'm not sure what their protocol is on that. And then I would just like to note on page 35, when we're looking at the obligations to our retirees, we've got that funded 136%. So that should be no problem for us long term. We did well in the market. You can see our funding went up from 113 to 115.36.
Right.
So that that should not be a problem for us long term. And that means that our obligations to our retirees is net neutral for us now. It's actually a positive for us. We make more in the market than we do in terms of funding our obligation to our retirees. So we're pretty safe on that. And I think we may be one of the only in the state that is. So those were my comments until we get to strengthening internal controls. So Larry, where are you on your comments? Did you have any particular items of concern?
My item of concern was, this is the first audit that I'm familiar with for the fire district where we've had any deficiencies. And
yes, I was appalled.
That upsets me a little bit. I don't want to blame anybody, but I do think that that's definitely worth noting. It seems to me that every audit since I started as a director has been clean. There've been no deficiencies. So this is some cause for alarm.
I agree.
And I think we should note that to the board at the board meeting as well.
Yes.
This particular year, 2020, was a pretty bad year from an audit point of view. It was a pretty bad year from just about every point of view that you can take. But I think what we need to do is we need to address the deficiencies to make sure they never happen again, and set as a goal for the general manager that the next audit is going to be clean.
Yeah, I've been on the board 26 years, Larry, and this is the only time their event we have had anything other than a clean audit report. And I think it's, what is it? Is it six different areas of deficiency? I find appalling.
You can go right to that if you want.
Yeah, let's go right to that. At least
page 64, right?
Yes. Some of X and balances, the other ones, I think we need to direct our accountant to update some of the book entries and journal entries. But I suggest that we immediately implement each of the suggestions of the auditor. And I intend to highlight this at our board meeting. I'm with you, Larry. I'm appalled that this is the first time we've had anything other than a fully clean audit, and I'm going to ask what happened. You know, part of it may be transition. No, but I find this absolutely.
Yeah, I was, I also, in prior management experience, as well as food bank, and then also the 6 years I was on the food bank board, and I was on the finance committee for that, and then the 10 years for Marinwood, I do recall occasionally some little, you know, a couple little things here and there with Marinwood early on in the days, but I was surprised at this because I thought, I'm not used to writing responses. But I'll tell you, here's my take on it is, and the auditors will be at the meeting so they can, you know, explain it maybe further from their experience. When I came on, Mary was, communicating with them, and it seemed like the last thing needed was for me to step in and to so I said to Mary, look, as you finish and then when you in your contract remaining hours January and February and the beginning of March, just focus on this, you know, so I was monitoring kind of the requests from the auditors for information and Mary's responses, and you know, it seemed to me that what happened here, one of the things was this audit covers a fiscal year where, you know, Brenda was there for 5 months and then it was, you know, transition for six, seven, really. You know, obviously you experienced it, not really a clean transition and not a resolved transition until Mary came on. I think that for this coming year for the audit, we're still going to see like a split personality of the books in terms of, you know, the first 6 months being Mary and then me for the second. Although I think that there were more controls that we've had this year than already, now we're nine months into this fiscal year, than happened for the 1920. And when I, you know, when I saw this list, I set up a call with the auditors and with Mary and with Mays. So we had the bookkeeper currently from Mays, as well as a senior partner there. And part of the question was, can you just explain a little bit more here about your comments, but also explain what we have to do or should be doing currently right now to make sure that this stuff isn't happening?
Yes.
A lot of the stuff at one point, some of it is related to oversight during, you know, monthly business. And so, for example, if we go down, let's say journal entries, 25 entries selected for testing, unable to verify that the entries had been independently reviewed, approved by an authorized individual other than the individual responsible for preparing the entry. So I don't know. I can't recall the, you know, specific 25 entries, but they covered the year. So there were definitely times when there probably wasn't much of a process for that. It was just, you know, entries being put in and things being done sort of retroactively, like months later. So we don't have that anymore. We already are, you know, I've directed Mays to that we need to reconcile more quickly when we get trial balances from the county. We need to, as journal entries are put in, you know, I'm actually looking at everything. They're looking at it to put it in, and then I'm looking at it, and then the board is seeing it too when we do our monthly reports. So there was naturally just kind of like a lag time that's not happening anymore. Bank reconciliations, it's sort of the same theme. There was a lot of, so we noted that the review of monthly bank reconciliations needed more controls. We recommend the district manager perform a timely review of all monthly bank reconciliations. So we have two categories I think that this covers, is obviously the county's trial balance. So that's our general accounting, and we're paying things out of our transmittal process. But then we have, of course, the mechanics bank. And one thing that happened definitely in last year is that there wasn't a monthly reconciliation that the board saw of the mechanics bank statements. So I think it went for about 9 months.
Oh my God.
Really. Where the board didn't really see the transactions in the mechanics bank because there was no request to reimburse that account. So that's the way that, at least I can see from the past, that you might have seen this, which is that every month we spend a certain amount of money, we make payments out of mechanics bank, like the utilities, we're receiving the rent from KPPCSD, we're receiving utility reimbursement from KPPCSD. Those are deposits. And then there are these miscellaneous payments made. What I've instituted now is that every single month we're going to make a request for reimbursement from the county for those fees. So we're going to move money from the general fund back to the mechanics bank. And because that will happen, you will see all of that listing of the expenses in the from Mechanics Bank, because you'll see it in the transmittal as part of the board packet.
Historically, we always saw that, Bill, and I asked for it monthly, and my request was ignored.
Yeah, I think what happened was a little bit of a misunderstanding about, so the money that comes into that account, other than the rent, so it's about $36,000 a year currently, right, for the rent that comes in, and then the utilities or whatever, $600-$700 a month. So the only other things that come into the count would be like reimbursements for SERPT, for the retirement trust. So we're paying, and I saw, it was a little bit tricky for me to understand. Sometimes there were payments made out of the transmittal process and the general fund for insurance payments, like dental and health for retirees. And sometimes they were made out of Mechanics Bank. Making payments out of Mechanics Bank is much easier. You know, we write a check, or there's a, in some of these areas now, there's an electronic funds transfer for like the utilities, right? It just happens and they get it right away. Problem with the county is a bill comes in the day after a board meeting. It's not approved until the next board meeting a month later. We send it to the county the next day as approved after we get it signed by the president. And then it sits on their desk until they do their next run, which might be a week or two. For example, I just got 2 weeks after we did the March 10th transmittal, which we sent in on the 11th, we had questions. We had sent in everything they want, which is the transmittal and all the background material. Here's the invoices, the bills. Sat there for 2 weeks, and then we got questions. Oh, we don't have this or we don't have that, which some of the stuff they actually did have. We send it back. Now 2 weeks has passed. Then we wait until they run it finally, and they issue a check. So that's another week or two. And then it gets to, you know, eventually it goes out in the post, and the US mail right now is doing such a bang up job, right? So next thing you know, a bill that came in the beginning of March doesn't actually get paid to someone until the end of May or mid-May. And by that point, they've issued new bills, statements, which I have to parse through to say, wait a minute, this is something we paid already, or here's a new charge, here's the old charge that they haven't received the check for. That's just eating up my time going checking things that we already have done. And then of course I had to communicate that to Mays. So I've really clearly said to Mays, look, we need to be right on top of this because there's this built-in delay. I'm gonna try to pay as much as I can out of Mechanics Bank because that doesn't happen. And in order for you all to see that activity, which you should be seeing, we're gonna every month do this reimbursement. And that way, you know, we pay our bills on time. We don't waste time with overdue, unnecessary overdue statements. And you all, you know, get to see everything. So I think that's hopefully at this point taken care of.
Okay. I'm happy that you're reviewing this with the auditor and with our accountant. And I would like to be able to report to the full board at our next meeting that these issues have been resolved. Is it going to be feasible by the next meeting, or are we in the process of resolution, or will they have been resolved by the next?
Well, meeting? I think it's resolved. I mean, in terms of like what the, our process now will not result in these types of issues. So I'm confident about that. And I'm going to write I had wanted to do it for today, but I will definitely have it for next, for the board meeting. I'll have the responses, you know, that explain this, and I'll try not to waste anybody's time kind of with explaining.
That was going to be my next question. Who you're the one who does the blank yellow slots here?
Yeah.
Is that Janice?
No, I do it. And in this meeting that we had, that was kind of the point of the meeting, kind of coming up with the responses and making sure that the auditor was acceptable. And I think what I'll do is I'll draft them and send them to the auditor and say, have I covered this adequately, you know, before I actually publish it. So it's, so they're confident.
So the board members will be able to see management response at the next board meeting.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I guess that's the same question Janice was asking. But.
Yeah, because I think this is going to be a real issue with the community as well. When we get this kind of a report from the auditor, it's devastating. Yeah. And if we can at least report that we've addressed the issues, that'll be fine. And then you said that the auditor themselves will not be at this meeting.
No, they will be. They will be.
They'll be at the next meeting.
So they'll do the actual presentation of this material and then open it for discussion. So.
Okay. All right. Then I'll be happy to introduce them and make a couple positive comments about what's in the audit in terms of the money we've set aside in the funding of retirees. And then we'll talk at the end again about this audit letter. Yeah.
It's unfortunate too, because the actual financial picture is good. So
yeah, yes. No, the actual financial picture is great. That's, I would like to introduce that at the beginning of the meeting, so that we start news.
And the way that they presented this is nice, with the, you know, the financial highlights here. You could just point those out.
Yeah. This is the first year that we've used these auditors. Is that correct?
I'm not sure, Janice, because I wasn't involved in it. Was before I came.
Janice, when did we switch auditors?
I don't know that we've used these people before. We generally switch every 4 or 5 years, Larry. And what we do is get like 5 or 6 sample reports from maybe 5 different auditors, and we take a look at the audit reports that they've prepared for other special districts. And then what we try to do is pick somebody, pick somebody who has a user-friendly audit presentation, so that you don't have to be a CPA to understand what's going on. We try to get one that members of the community can look at, understand, and know what's happening.
Good, okay. It seems to me these guys are new, that I don't think that really means anything, but certainly coming in new and not having full access to all of it because of COVID, it's understandable that there would be some hiccups, but these aren't little minor bumps in the road, seems to me. These are pretty bad ruts.
Yeah, I think so. It's really a question of checks and balances and oversight. They're kind of shocking deficiencies. I don't think they're little niggling things either, Larry. I'm with you. I'm appalled. But anyway, I get to start by introducing people, and I'll start with the good news, and then I'd like to end with the good news that we've responded and that the responses are adequate to the auditor, and that these issues are in the past, but it's a real concern. I don't think the board's going to be happy with this, and I don't think the community's going to be happy with this audit report either.
Just so you know, I think it's we're required every 6 years to change.
I think we've always just kind of targeted it around 4 or 5 years.
That's fine. You know, I think it's a good idea to.
Yeah, I mean, because we don't want a lapse, you know, of where we're, and the idea is you just get a different set of eyes. Yeah. But when we pick that, there's a limited number of people who are competent to audit special districts and are familiar with the requirements. So it's a limited pool, Larry. And what we try to do is just get sample audit reports from them and choose among them on the basis. I never meet the people when we've auditor before. The audit reports and kind of put them in ranked order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which ones we like, and then take a look at their price and pick on availability and price. Then
the price really does vary. I had to go through an RFP for I think it was Muir Beach, because they hadn't done audits in 10 years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Oh geez.
Yeah. And yeah, it was interesting to see. It was really a big spread in pricing for the audits. So,
yeah, there is, and it's a surprisingly large price for a district of our size and the number of transactions we execute. You know, it's amazing, because we're real small potatoes, and it's kind of an amazing fee. Okay, well, I don't think we need to beat the horse. Is there anything else you want to say about the audit, Larry or Bill?
Well, I would just like to say that in reading the audit, I'm very pleased with the audit. I'm not pleased with the audit results, but I'm pleased with the audit. I found it both understandable to someone who's not a CPA like me, but on the other hand, and yet thorough and quite well done. So I'm very happy with these auditors, and next year I'm hoping to be very happy with the results of the audit.
Yeah, And the good news, at least, is there were no defalcations in here. There are procedural errors, but no financial consequence of those errors that they could spot.
So well, yeah, nobody's walked off with $1 million. That's, I mean,
any, as far as the auditors can see, you know, so there are errors, but they didn't cost us anything. So that's the good news. That's for sure. Okay, then I as far as I'm concerned, we're done with the meeting unless we have any other business. I know at our last finance committee meeting, we decided that we would invite board members to give us some input about what projects or activities that they were looking to fund in the next budget year. I have not gotten any from any members of the board yet, so I will ask again at our next board meeting whether there's anything new that people want to introduce into the budget season. And then what we're coming up relatively close now on when we're going to start preparing the budget for the next fiscal year. And right. I don't know how much input you want from Larry and me on that, and whether you want a separate meeting on that, or whether you want to do it informally, or how would you like to proceed on that, Bill?
And yeah,
you want to think about it too.
I know. So I was going to tell you that I just this morning, I'm trying to couch this in terms of future meeting and not a discussion because it's not agendized.
Yeah.
As a discussion, but I will tell you that for that future meeting, Chief Bagoni told me that he does have his numbers. I basically had asked him, when he expected to have some preliminary numbers so we could meet to talk about the budget, three quarters of it. I didn't expect it until later in May. He said he's pretty much already got everything now.
Oh, great, okay.
Except for PERS. He said, in general, they're planning on a 3% increase in non-personnel costs, but it seems like they will not. So the personnel costs will probably remain flat. I don't know, make any promises about that. This is just rough. The point is that for this future meeting, I'll meet with him, take a look at it, maybe lay out the rough budget, and then see the timing of the meeting. I'll consult with you on that.
Okay.
I was surprised because I didn't expect that information yet, but I was glad that he already has it.
Well, a lot, yeah, because he's like 90% of our budget, but I can't remember exactly when his labor contract expires. He has five non-union people. The rest are all union. So his numbers are pretty much dictated by his union contract. So we ought to know when his contract expires, and that'll also help us figure out not just this coming fiscal year, one afterwards, because it's a relatively small number of his employees that are not, you know, management is basically, the ones characterized as management aren't union representatives. And my understanding is, or what I've heard is, El Cerrito's going to ball them, that they're not going to get what the union people are getting, given the negative feedback in the El Cerrito community on how much some of the salaries are. That may be why Mike has his numbers so early, okay. That it's bad news for management. And then the union contract's kind of built in. I think the union contract's set for another year or two, but I would like firm data on that. I'm not gonna trust my memory on it. Okay, then will you keep us posted on that and how we can help you with that? I will ask board members again at our next meeting whether or not they have any particular activities that either need new funding or need additional funding to compared to the past. And then I would suggest on the budget that we continue to carry forward all the COVID restricted activities on the theory that COVID seems to be getting it all, so that we leave things like the shredder and the public education budget, we leave all that stuff alone My nature is optimism that we will return to more normalcy on yeah. that. But even though we haven't spent the money this year, I would like to continue to carry that money towards the sure. next year. Okay. And otherwise, it's pretty much same old, unless we hear anything from other board members about their wants and needs.
Good.
Okay, then we know we're going to be meeting towards the end of May with the fire chief and hopefully with El Cerrito city manager as well. If Friday mornings at 10 still work for the three of us, maybe you could, if you could orchestrate that meeting, Bill.
Right.
And we're a lot easier to schedule than, and actually, well, not because it's going to be Zoom. Pagona usually doesn't come in on Friday. So Friday morning ought to be a good thing for him as well. I think Karen's calendar is probably the most difficult among us. Okay. So let's try to defer to her as we can. And I'm thinking, we like to have that meeting as early as we can, but El Cerrito's budget tends not to firm up the last week in May. And I'm looking to see when our June meeting is.
It's the 12th.
Oh, well, that ought to be okay then. Yeah. Then if we could meet with them sometime in the last week of May.
There's it's the 21st, or the very last Friday is the 28th.
Oh, I wonder whether that's going to bother people on Memorial Day.
Yeah. And there's also just consider the fact that then the June board meeting.
Oh, have you getting the packet ready? Well, let's shoot for, if you could even contact Pincus now and see if we can get on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the 21st might be better.
Yeah, sometimes.
21st looks good to me.
Yeah, okay. Let's get on Pincus's calendar then, since hers is the most difficult of us, I think. And tell her that we can be flexible on that date, but we want to at least fix it now so that we have a date upon which all of us can agree.
Okay.
And then we'll just work back from that on what we do about preparing a budget separate and apart from the El Cerrito contract fee proposal. Okay.
So are you in terms of, presentations of draft budgets at the board meetings, are you used to doing that earlier than that? Like, no. So for example, normally in the past I've done, no matter what the accuracy of it is, it's just sort of, it's still, it's a draft, but a draft in as early as April and a draft in May and a final in June.
That's fine. Typically,
I don't know if you want to put that in there and add that. We've got so much other stuff. If it's just a draft, and if you're not used to doing it, then we don't need to do that.
I think it would be a problem to do it for the April meeting. That would put a gun.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea to set the preliminary draft in May, just so people have a chance to get used to what the numbers are and familiarize yourself with them and ask whatever questions. And it also gives us an idea what, if anything, we can fund.
That would be May 12th, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Larry, would you put that as kind of a tentative agenda item that, and it may be informational only. I don't want to take up any of the meeting time that you need for other issues when it's going to be a major focus of our June meeting. But at least if we could put an informational preliminary draft.
I have an idea that May 12th meeting is going to be awfully full.
All right. Well, then maybe we can just put it in there for information only and not for discussion.
Will do. I've got it marked.
Yeah. Okay, that would be great. And if you can't accommodate it, Larry, that's okay too. I mean, I know you have constraints, certainly time. And since we're going to be discussing it in June, maybe if we, maybe the do it, Larry, is put a very one in the May packet and ask board directors who have, well, no, we can't ask them to give us input without violating the Brown Act, can we?
Correct. So,
maybe there isn't any point in giving it to them in advance because they're going to see it a month later when they're not going to have time to talk about it and they can't respond to us. So maybe, how did you do it, Bill? Oh, you had open discussion at the meeting then.
Yeah. In those particular circumstances, it wasn't, I don't know, it worked out. That's all I can say. I mean, it was, they were able to be presented and it was, you know, well, I think we've got a lot of other things going on here. So
Why don't we leave it that if it looks like we can get room for at least a brief discussion, we'll agendize it. And otherwise
we'll try it next year.
Let it ride.
Well, the other way you can do it, if it doesn't go against some kind of past precedent that you had, would be that I could just include it as part of my management report. And if it's a report item, obviously then it could only get a couple of comments here or there, but it wouldn't be available for any, you know, intensive discussion. So that's a way to show it without getting dragged into a lot of time.
That's a much better idea. And it does give people advance notice of what they're likely to see in June, you know, revised as a result of our discussions with Elsevier. I always like transparency and giving people notice. So maybe let's try it that way, Bill. I think that's a good idea if we make it part of your general manager's report and then tell them that it's going to be a principal topic of our June meeting. Does that work for you, Larry?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, and that'll limit discussion so that you can have the rest of the meeting for the other items that you foresee on the agenda. Okay. Well, let's try it that way, Bill. I think that's a good solution. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, anything else that either one of you wants to raise for today's meeting?
I noticed that we do have one other member of the public who I don't know if they want to make the comment or not. Katie, I don't know. Katie, who, I'm not sure. I know three different Katies, so. But I don't see her hand raised.
No.
Okay.
Okay, then I think we're through unless you guys have anything.
No, sounds good.
Nothing from Stanford Avenue at this point.
Okay.
And it looks like Janice just froze.
That's right. Janice, your picture.
In by AT&T.
Yeah. Well, we're stuck.
Okay. Well. I guess it's okay for me to adjourn the meeting.
We almost made it. Oh, yeah, she lost it.
She's gone. Okay, well then, how about if I adjourn the meeting in the absence of the chair?
In the loss of a quorum.
So I think this meeting stands adjourned at 10:53 a.m.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a great weekend, Bill.
Thanks. All right. Talk to you later.